Welcome to the Thinking Unwind podcast with me, Nathan James. How do you know if you know something? How do you know that you know what you know? Now, I know that sounded like quite a fucking clusterfuck. Am I right? That's kind of a bit too much, huh? I might be going a bit too far with that statement. But it's a genuine question. How do you know what is real? How do you know anything? Now, why am I doing this? Mostly because I haven't finished studying the other thing I wanted to do, my next topic. So I was like, fuck, I've got to record. I either don't record this week because I have nothing, and I don't really like how the last episode I made went without any preparation. So I wanted to do something better, but I didn't have anything, but then I remembered that I actually have spoken about this topic before on a podcast, just not mine. I did it on a friend's podcast, in Spanish, though, so don't think you're going to be able to go listen to it. And by the way, it was boring as fuck. Actually, his podcast is kind of what inspired me to do mine. Well, I wouldn't say inspired, I already had the idea to do mine, but it kind of motivated me even more because I was like, this guy's doing kind of the shit I wanted to do, doing the topics I wanted to do, but he's doing it in such a shit way, I feel like I have to do it in a better way. I one-upped my friend, but he doesn't know of the existence of this podcast, so don't worry, it's probably actually even more successful than his. So thank you guys for that. But, now, what governs the whole thing of knowing? What is the study that governs knowledge? It's epistemology. I just told you what it is. It's what studies knowledge, the very nature of knowledge. How do you know what you know? What do you know? What even is knowing? And well, when I did this on my friend's podcast, He gave me a book to read before the episode, which I'm going to tell you. I thought it was going to be a fun little thing about kind of like the way I want to do this podcast in the future, which is when I have guests, I want to do it kind of like in a discussion, have a conversation about a certain topic and just let it flow naturally, right? I don't want an exposition. Do you guys really like an exposition? I know I don't like it. At least not for a pod. Maybe a YouTube video, an exposition is nice, because you can stop in different places. I mean, you can also stop this episode, but, you know, you got visual aids in YouTube and shit. It's much easier to teach, but in the podcast, it's much harder to teach and much harder to give a very solid image. So the best way to bring to understanding is with a discussion, the way I kind of want to do it with you guys. So this is why I do it the way I do it. And, in the future, I will want to do it with guests and just kind of have fun having a debate, have fun trying to know, trying to learn more. So he gave me this homework. It was this book from this dude. It was a French dude. And I've already forgotten the name of the book and the dude, which is sad. He didn't tell me to read the entire book. He told me to read half of the book, which is fine because it was only the first half that was important. It was about epistemology. Actually, I think the very book was called Epistemology, but it was from some unknown dude, so forget about it. And what it went through was it went through the four biggest, if anything, did I say biggest? Four largest. The four largest, how would you say, theories of knowing. What do you know, what you know? What? That didn't even make sense. Whatever, who cares? Which is skepticism. Actually, it went through five, I believe. Skepticism, empiricism, rationalism, idealism, and realism. So I was like, so I had to fucking read that, and those are the five movements I'm going to talk about to you today. I'm going to give you kind of a brief explanation of each one. I'm going to do essentially what I wanted to do on his pod, but couldn't because, let me tell you, that what he did was an asshole thing, because he told me that it was going to be a discussion, that it was just going to be me and him having a nice conversation about the book and our ideas and the thoughts that we went through. He told me that. And then 30 minutes before that we were about to record, he said, actually, I'm going to bring in another friend and we're all going to present parts of the books and give a summary of the book. And I was like, I didn't fucking prepare for that. I didn't take notes or anything or create like concise statements to summarize everything. I can't do that. And well, it went horribly, which, you know, fuck him. Fuck that. But I'm not spiteful, alright? I'm not spiteful, I promise you guys. But it did really annoy me that he just kind of fucked with me. Either way, that's kind of irrelevant to what we're going to be talking about now. So let's go through it all. I'm going to go through it in the same order that the book went through it all. And yeah, I hope you guys fucking enjoy. You better stay here because this is, in essence, is actually how we're going to be able to understand what even is reality. Because how do you know what's real if you don't even know what to know? What do you trust? What can you trust? Right? You like to say, oh, this world is real, but how do you know this world is real? Is it because you can sense it? Is it because you can maybe deduce it? Is it because you see it? Is it, you know, why do you think it's real? What do you know is just in your head and isn't actually in the world? You know, how do you know that you are the one who is right and not someone else who sees something else? So that is where skepticism kind of comes in. You start doubting. Because normally I'd say that humans are naturally realists. We'll be speaking about realism later, but we just trust. You know, people who don't like to think more than what they just want to do, who don't really like to reflect on life, which I'm not going to say, call them lesser. If anything, they're better because they're not stressed out the entire fucking time and they don't have existential crisis. They don't have existential crises like all the time. But you've got, you just can't really know. Now I'm going to summarize that really we can't properly prove any of these theories because they are philosophical. And by nature, they're plainly subjective. It's very hard for you to give an objective shit. But skepticism was born in Greece, also in India. Lots of people don't like speaking about Eastern philosophy because the West really likes to think they're better. But I don't know much about Eastern philosophy because I haven't read about any of it yet. So I can't say shit about India. But in Greece, it was around the original skepticism, you know, that was formed in Greece, it had two kind of waves, whatever. It was that you can't really affirm that you know anything. You know, you can't really say that something's true because you can't actually prove that anything is true. So I can't say I'm a human because what even is a human to begin with, you know? How can I really be sure that I'm even a human if we are to define human as, you know, this, as, I don't know, a creature with two legs and feet and, I don't know, opposable thumbs, you know, you can create a description of a human. How do you know I truly am human? How do I know that I'm not a cat dreaming of being a human? You know, how do I know that I'm not a different ape who just is incredibly similar to a human? How do I know that I'm not an alien who was brought to Earth with its memories erased and made to look exactly like a human and act exactly like one as an experiment or something? How do I know? And that very thing is, we can't know. We can't make true statements because any statement can be put under scrutiny. What, you know, I can't say what I have in my hand is a banana because a banana in itself, the word means nothing. The word is something we created. So what are you even holding if you're not holding a banana? Somebody else could call it a plátano. So what are you holding, a banana or a plátano? Now, again, I'm going to remind you, this is very ancient skepticism. So any problems you might hear in this, it's very, you know, Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying this is right, but this is what they would believe, this kind of things. I might be giving a bit of a shitty explanation or like real description of how their belief went, but you can get the gist of it. They couldn't affirm anything. Now, the person in this book actually made a little nice remark. I don't know if... I don't think he was the one who made this observation. I think he said that maybe it was Kant. I think it was Kant. Maybe it wasn't someone else, but who said that being a skeptic is in itself contradictory, because if you can't affirm anything, if you can't say any statement is true, then what you're saying right now isn't true. Like, saying, for example, you can't know anything, or you can't, rather, sorry, you can't affirm anything, that very sentence is an affirmation. In that sentence, you are affirming something. And if you can't affirm anything, then you can't affirm that you can't affirm anything. So it breaks down into a paradox. And that's why skepticism in that extreme is kind of dumb. And that's like what a few people believed in Greece, but, you know, obviously not everybody, because, well, that's going too far. But then you've got a few years pass, everything's going great. Not really, it's the medieval ages, shit is fucked. But then you've got around 1600s, René Descartes. We love Descartes. Why? Because he was an insanely influential philosopher, even though lots of his ideas were countered later on in life. He still had good ideas, and they really did help develop our views on life. Because what he said, well, he involved his skepticism into what we now call Cartesian skepticism, in which it's not that you can't, it's not that no statement can be true, you can't affirm anything, it's rather we don't know what is true unless we get rid of everything. Because, say, what he noticed is that the way we're brought up, we learn a lot of things, we see a lot of things, and then in the future we notice that we were wrong. We can find ourselves being tricked, we can find ourselves being wrong many times, and maybe have found ourselves in illusions, seeing things that aren't real. You know, a very good, not a very good, but rather a very dimmed down example would be, say, if you have a teddy bear as a baby. As a baby and as a small child, what you consider a bear is exactly like a teddy bear. In your mind, bears, if, let's say, you're not shown an actual bear in real life until, like, later on, you're not shown a picture or anything of it as a kid, you're going to believe a bear looks kind of like a teddy bear. You know, with the cute nose, small, maybe like the proportions kind of like the way they have it, like their little paws who are very soft and these like beady little eyes. But then if you're ever brought to a zoo, you'll notice that's not how a bear looks like. So what does that mean? You didn't know what was real. You didn't know what was a real bear. You had the idea of one, but you were tricked. You were tricked by your parents who bought you a teddy bear, and now you should hate your fucking parents because, wow, that's mean. No. No, no. No, but... but what this kind of... you know, this is a very dimmed-down example. We can have many other examples, much more complicated, much, like, no more horrible, for example. You can think an adult actually knows what they're doing, but once you reach adulthood, you notice you're just as fucking confused and stressed out as a teenager. So... yeah, things like that. So then Descartes was like, okay, well, I don't know what I truly know, because out of all of the things that I believe, all of the things that, you know, I think might be true, there might be some false things, there might be some lies. So I gotta get rid of it all. That was his reasoning. It's like having a basket of fruit, and you've noticed that some of those fruits are actually, you know, have actually gone bad. What do you do? Well, what you're going to have to do is dump the basket and then really find and recheck every single fruit to see if they've gone bad or not, and only get the ones that are good. But you've got to dump the basket, right, to see all the fruits. You got to pick them up again. You throw them down to pick them up again, but only the ones you know to be true. That's what he did with his beliefs. He said that we have to disbelieve everything. But not always. Not like the original skeptics who said that for their entire life they were to not believe anything, and that way it's easier. Descartes was like, no, let's just not believe as a starter, and then we'll get to believe. And so that's what he did. So, but if you throw down everything, you've got to have somewhere to start from. So he was like, I've got to have an ultimate truth, right? A first truth, something that helps me deduce everything else. And so the first truth for him was cogito ergo sum. I know you've probably heard that somewhere, probably on an Instagram page of some kind of e-girl who thinks she is 15 and knows very deep thoughts. But this thing is that if he is able to doubt, if he right now is doubting his knowledge, doubting what he perceives to be true about the world, then he must be able to think. He must have a mind, a consciousness, or else he wouldn't be able to doubt. He wouldn't be able to truly think. And so from that, he's able to say, I exist, because if I have a consciousness, I have an existence. And through that, he was able to deduce everything else. Because once you know that you can think, you know, you can now think about other things. You can now say, I don't know, that if I'm able to think about things, that must mean that I have to, that there must have been things to be perceived in the first place. And so that must mean that things do exist. That, and stuff like that. And well, you know, he went through all the way down there. And then there comes empiricism. Because let's say you've done the whole Cartesian skepticism, you've gotten rid of all of your beliefs and then have gone back, you've clean slated yourself, and now you want to know what is true. What is real? What can I consider real? Because, you know, before you could say, before you did the whole Cartesian clean slate, you could have said a banana is a fruit, right? But then you did the whole thing and you were like, okay, how do I really know that a banana is a fruit? This is what I used to believe. But now I need to reevaluate my thoughts. So, what do you do? Now, there are two ways to respond to this that were created, and that was empiricism and rationalism. Rationalism was that you could deduce everything using your very thoughts, using your reason. You could deduce anything. You didn't need your senses. You know, that's what empiricism was, is that via your senses, anything you can see, feel, touch, all of that is what you can believe. I can touch this banana that I have in front of me. This is why I'm using banana as an experiment, because I have one in front of me. I can feel it. I know it's there. I can see it. If I move it around, I can hear it a bit. I think even you guys heard it a bit, because I fucked with my microphone. But and I can smell it, and I did taste it. So, empiricism would say that this banana is fucking real, right? It's right there. It's right there. I've got my senses on it. It must be real. But rationalism says, no, we can't know if that's real. Why? Because your senses can lie to you. Have you ever been drinking a bit and the world seemed distorted? Right? The world was spinning around. Maybe you tried acid and now white seemed green. Hell, what if you're colorblind? What is red and what is green? What is yellow? I mean, I don't really know what colors colorblind people lose. I've forgotten. But say you're colorblind and everything that everybody else considers to be red is actually green for you. What is real? You know, is that thing actually red or is that thing actually green? So empiricism would say that it's actually green for the colorblind person, but everybody else would say, but it's not green. It's just that he has a condition. His senses are lying to him because his body's eyes are kind of fucked up. And that's where rationalism comes in and says, no, we can deduce it. We can find out everything. But it kind of breaks down because rationalism likes to think that it only uses its mind. But you can't really deduce something purely from your reason. For example, I can't say this is a banana by saying a fruit is something blah 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 blah, right? I can give you a description of what a fruit is and what something needs to be considered a fruit. But how can I know a banana can be considered a fruit if I don't trust my senses? Rationalists will still, inadvertently use their senses to describe things, and so they're kind of fucked up. They're kind of dumb. Not many people are rationalists, not like that. Because you can't not think of anything without your senses. Have you ever tried to imagine something that you've never seen before without any elements of anything you've ever seen before? I doubt it, Try to think of a new color. You can't, because your brain is limited to that of your senses. Just like a colorblind person who would see red as green could never really understand what red looks like, you can't think of anything else like that. So you can't really deduce that red exists, and you can't really say anything else about it. But, okay. Fuck. So, okay, do I always trust my senses then, even though sometimes it might be a lie? Well, I like to say you can. But you kind of have to use... I like to combine both of them, because sometimes you have to use your reason above your senses. You can't just purely trust your senses. Again, you might be under some kind of other condition. You have to use your reason to understand your situation. You have to understand that, I have been drinking, let's say, 30 minutes ago, so I might have a distorted perception of my surroundings. I might be a bit tipsy, and so this can't be real. I'm going to have to assume that what I'm seeing is a distorted image and not how reality is. Now this is, you would think that this is the logical thing, right? You would think, why the fuck is anybody thinking about this kind of shit? Why? Why are we, it seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? But then there came a dude called Berkeley, who kind of was around saying that there might, because Descartes also said that there might be an evil mastermind who's tricking us. How do we know that we're not being tricked? He didn't believe in this evil mastermind, but he said we couldn't affirm he doesn't exist. So we have to think of the possibility. And so Berkeley, following up on that, said if there might be an evil mastermind that could affect our senses, and there are things that we simply cannot trust, we can't trust anything that's material. We can't say that anything that really is matter exists. It cannot. Because the only thing we know is what we perceive. No? What's real for us is what we perceive. I see a bottle in front of me. I see a clock. I see the room as white. If I see something else that other people don't see, that's not real for me, so it can't be real. It can't be real. The matter itself must not be real for everybody else to have different perceptions. If we can't agree on the same thing, then does that thing even truly exist? And so we were called perceivers. He said that the only thing we do know is that we perceive, and we only exist as perceivers. And that is it. We can't even affirm our body exists. And at the moment we stop perceiving something, it ceases to exist. Because if nobody can see it, is it even there? You ever heard that whole thing of if a tree falls down in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, did it actually fall down? I think I fucked up the question, but you know what I mean? Does it make a sound? Oh, that's it. If a tree falls down in a forest and nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. What Berkeley would say is that that forest doesn't even fucking exist in the first place if no one's around to see it or hear it. That forest is non-existent, because if nobody can see it, if it's not in anybody's mind, how do you know it's actually there? How do you know it's still there? And that was his whole logic. Now, I did, find someone else who said, if we're all perceivers and the only thing that exists is us as perceiving beings, what are we perceiving? And that kind of, I feel like that kind of fucked up his whole theory. So you guys can tell me, but I invite you guys to, correct me, because I think I might be fucked up here or there, but I would like you guys to tell me if you could think of a counter there, because straight up saying, if we're just perceivers, what the hell are we perceiving? That kind of fucks up this whole thing. There must be something, right? There must be something there. You know, because what Berkeley did was he went into idealism. That's what idealism was, is that the world only exists within our mind. Our mind is what creates everything. Our mind is what makes things real. When we go to sleep and we dream, that dream does exist. That reality is real, at least for the short time of the dream. You know, and hell, that's even why, that's one of the arguments of how do we know we ourselves are not in a dream right now? Because when you're in a dream, everything makes sense. Everything seems to just make sense, even though it clearly doesn't once you wake up. And you can't really tell it's a dream. Well, not usually, unless you have a lucid dream. So how do we not know that we're in one right now? And we're simply unable to do anything about it. So that's why it says everything is in your mind, that there is no objective. But then comes realism, the big boy realism. And I think now that I've been speaking about all the other shit, you're probably thinking, wow, what the fuck? How do these people actually believe any of that? None of that makes sense. Are they crazy? The thing is, if you really read about them, if you really properly read all their arguments, they are pretty convincing. I'm going to tell you, they're pretty fucking convincing. And they really make you think and doubt everything. But then comes realism, the whole primitive, the whole natural view of life and of reality. That everything we see is real. That there is an objective nature to everything. And we can't just confide in our senses. We can't just confide in our reason. Because our reason cannot truly understand matter. Our reason cannot create objects. It cannot understand objects without using their senses. And empiricism, only our senses, cannot truly affirm anything, because it could all just be an illusion created by our perception. Idealism is way too weird. So I'm sorry if I didn't, properly divide this before, right? Let's say, just to give you guys a good division before we go into realism, skepticism is essentially the start of this entire whole epistemology. If you ever want to get into epistemology, you pretty much start with skepticism, because you already are doubting what you know. And that's where you start off from. And then the two ways of knowing, how do you acquire knowledge? What way of acquiring knowledge can you trust? There is rationalism and there is empiricism. And once you decide on which side you are on, or what things you want to accept from what side and what things you want to accept from the other, you go on to affirm the nature of reality. And that's where idealism and realism comes in. Idealism says reality is purely subjective, it is based on your perception and on your mind. There is no objective, true, world. While realism is the opposite of idealism. It says there is a definite, objective world, and it is not dependent on your perception. What you perceive to be true does not matter, what you perceive to be false does not matter either, because there is something there. There is something out there, and there is one truth, and it's not dependent on you. But how does it fight against this whole thing of, that I perceive, that we can all perceive things differently? Say, hell, even I could be going through some kind of psychosis and I have a hallucination. Who gives you the right to say that I'm going through psychosis, that I'm having hallucinations, instead of me actually seeing a different dimension, for example, a different plane. Maybe I'm seeing different waves. You know, who knows? Maybe I'm being able to see photons that you guys can't see. I'm able to see ghosts, spirits. Why? What makes us, you know that that's not real? What makes you know that the grandma did not come to visit you? Is that everybody else can't fucking see it. That's how I like to think. That's how I live my life, is that how do I know something is real? How do I know something is the way it is not by what you perceive, but what the majority of people perceive. I can see something as blue, but if everybody else says that it's not blue, then I have to believe them. Maybe I'm being confused. Maybe, you know, something's going wrong with my head, with my mind. They're not blue. And I've got to accept that as real. That is the truth. Truth isn't what you can imagine. It's what everybody else perceives as truth. And in a certain way, I guess that is still kind of subjective, maybe. Because there's no proper way to say that something is the way it is. Especially since we are unable to see many things, as you do know. We are unable to see many different kinds of light. For example, ultraviolet. We can't see that. We can't see infrared. Some animals are able to see that, I think. Or am I stupid? I think I'm being stupid. I don't think anybody's able to see it infrared. But there are these different, visions that we don't have. So, things might be very, very different from the ways we perceive them. You know, what you consider black, if we are able to see every single type of light that exists in matter, if we were able to see it all, what you consider to be black could probably be a much different color than actual black, you know what I mean? But, you know, we're humans, we're all limited. We all have the same kind of limitations. Nobody can see past the colors that we see. We can't see more. So what do? We all agree that's black. Hell, maybe in reality you can have two different black objects. We can have the same shade of black, but if we were to put them through all the lenses of all the different lights, they would actually be different colors, you know? They would still be black for us, because we only see that level of color. And that's what's real. I know you might be going like, oh, but that proves that we don't know what's real. No, I feel like we can know. I feel like, sure, we might not know more things. We might not have a complete understanding of an object. Because, hell, there are even multiple dimensions. You know, you guys ever hear of the super string theory? Which, for this whole theory to be able to exist. I can't say exactly what the theory itself is about. I do believe it's about how quarks, quarks are made of these kind of tubes, micro tubes, and that spin one way or another. I can't really give a good explanation. You can look it up, super string theory. Specifically, I think it's M super string theory, string theory that needs 10 dimensions to be able to exist. We all know the 3 dimensions, right? We can all perceive 3 dimensions, length, width, and depth. You know, one dimension is just a line, though I would like to say that one dimension is probably impossible to exist, right? Like, you can't have something that's just a line, you know, because just length, it has to have some width. At least my brain cannot imagine something without width. It can't. It simply can't. So I could never say anything about that. But 2 dimensions, everybody can think. Some width, right? And length. We can all see it. It's on paper. Just a drawing. 2 dimensions. 3 dimensions, we all get it. The real world. 3D. What is the 4th dimension? You guys might be going like, oh, the 4th dimension, I don't know. Well, the 4th dimension, according to string theory and physicists, would be time. Before you think of dimensions as different worlds, that's not what dimensions really means. Dimensions are kind of like, I'd say measurements of an object of matter. How we measure matter. So that's why 3 dimension is the whole length, width, depth, and 4 dimension is the time. And if you want to imagine how time would be as a dimension, you could say it kind of like, imagine a 3D object, a cube, but then make it 2D, and then you extend it. Wouldn't you say, you've got a square, right? Wouldn't you say that a cube is just a square repeated multiple times, just moved a bit, right? You move the square 1 millimeter to the right every single time, and then you make a cube. No? I mean, hell, that's even how you are, that's how you calculate the volume of a cube, is that you get the area of one of the bases and multiply it by the height, because you're just putting multiple squares on top of one another. That's how you can imagine time. It's 3D objects being put through different spaces and just continuously. So it would be essentially however I move in the entirety of my life, that would be an object, that would be a shape of some sorts. And that's what time is in the 4th dimension. And then 5th dimension, which kind of goes weird. 5th is where a parallel world would come in. Worlds which have the same initial conditions, say the Big Bang, or any other initial condition, say me waking up this morning not dead. That is a good initial condition, and there are many parallel universes, each having slight differences, and that's what you guys would know as parallel worlds. And then the 6th dimension is that, but you add a bit of sprinkle of time. So now, with the 6th dimension, if we are ever able to traverse this 6th dimension, is that's how we would be able to travel through time, technically. It's by going to another world at another time. Another world that is, you know, in a different time than us, or whatever. That's how we would do it. We can't really do it on our own world. We can't traverse the 4th dimension, but we could probably go the 6th dimension. And then there's the 7th dimension, which is alternate worlds. And alternate worlds are different from parallel worlds because alternate worlds have different initial conditions. Say, for example, the previous one, the parallel world, was that I woke up alive. An alternate world would be I didn't wake up alive. Hell, I was never even existing. I never existed. That's an alternate world. Because that no longer is parallel with the other. This is something completely different. But it's much more serious. This is a much more dumbed down example of initial conditions. But say the parallel worlds, we all had the Big Bang. But in an alternate world, it would be there was no Big Bang, but rather a superior being that always existed that then created the world via sperm or something. His jizz. That would be an alternate world, and everything that stems from that would be alternate worlds. And then you add time, and there goes the 8th dimension. You know, add time. It's 8th dimension is the 7th dimension plus time. There you go. And then the 9th dimension is all the different possible worlds and realities with different initial conditions and different laws of physics. So gravity does no longer attract, but rather repulses or something like that. You know what I mean? Heat no longer excites electrons I don't know. Somehow, When electrons get excited and move around, they don't move around the way they do here. They move around somewhere else. When they get excited, instead of getting loosened up, like over here, and they become like liquid or gas, they actually condense in this other reality. And then the 10th dimension is everything you can possibly imagine. It's everything that is real, that is not everything. Absolutely every single thing. And that's the 10th dimension. That's a lot of shit that I just gave you, didn't I? But didn't you notice that we can only truly perceive 3 dimensions? People like to say we can perceive the 4th dimension, but we can't. You can't see the shape of me in my entire existence. You can't see that. So I don't think we can perceive 4 dimensions. we can graph it pretty easily. That is true. We can definitely make a good old graph of a fourth dimension. We can have a proper understanding of it and use it to our advantage, but we can never really see it. So if we can't see these seven other dimensions, that again, the string theory is a theory. You know, it can't actually be proven, though it is very much worked on by very good physicists, and it's, I believe, mathematically viable. If we're going to say that that is true, we've got seven dimensions that we can't see, seven dimensions that affect reality. So does that mean that we don't even know reality? You could be thinking about that your entire life, and you could be in angst forever, but what is the point of philosophy? If the point of philosophy for you is to be able to understand everything, to be able to know absolute truth, then I'm sorry to tell you, but that's never going to happen. You're never going to find objective truths with philosophy. Maybe a philosophical idea might lead to some scientific discoveries, but that's science. And hell, philosophy even puts science under scrutiny, because how can you trust what science says? But if you have philosophy to be able to have a better understanding of things and just have maybe a clearer thought, be able to properly think things through, be able to live your life much more easier, much more calmed down, being able to say that you have thought things through, that you have been able to analyze the world and you have chosen to know what is true, what is not, you have chosen to believe certain things, then I can tell you right now, just say that whatever you see is real. You know, just accept it. There is more that we don't know, but that doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean that the color that we see it as now, that the shape that we see it as now isn't real. It's there. We can hold it, we can feed it, we can see it, and if we use our reason, we can totally deduce that this thing is real. We might not know everything about it, but we don't have to know everything about something for it to be real. For example, do you know absolutely everything about your most loved one? Let's say about your dad. Do you know absolutely everything about him? No. But does he still exist as a person? You probably like to think that he does. We can't live our life not accepting everything as real. We are sensory creatures. We're animals. We need to be able to believe some things are real. Even if things aren't, does that matter? Does it matter? Hell, it's like, if we want to go down the whole thing that I've forgotten his name, who said that, what if the world was created 5 minutes ago by a god? 5 minutes ago, the entire universe was created by this god in the state that we know it as 5 minutes ago. That we were all created with the memories that we have, with the fossils already there, but they're just created by God. With everything just like that, it was all created 5 minutes ago, just like that. We can't disprove that. We can't. Because how do you disprove that? You can't. Because at the end of the day, everything you know about yourself are just memories. And, well, the thing... it was Bertrand Russell. That was his name. Bertrand Russell. That's the guy who said it. What he said was, it doesn't fucking matter. Because it doesn't really affect you, does it? What we need to do is know how to live our life. Know how to be able to see our life and be able to just keep on going and be able to advance. To be able to evolve. And we can't really do anything if we keep thinking about these useless ideas. You could doubt the nature of reality all you want. You can be a realist, an idealist, a skeptic. Who the fuck knows what you want to be, but at the end it doesn't matter. Because you know very well, even though you might not be able to define it, you might not be able to completely affirm it, you know what's real. You can look at something and you know that's real. You can hear something and you know that is in some sense real. And you can know when it's not. Sometimes you might be having a sickness or something, but when somebody tells you, you can kind of understand if you use a good amount of reason. so that doesn't affect us. We shouldn't be thinking about that all the time. It's a good little thought exercise. It's a good little way of, you know, maybe going around, going like, let's see if I can use my logic and to be able to use my logic to explain the way I view life, the way I view existence. But don't get too caught up on it, because there's not much there. It's, if anything, it's fruitless. I don't really know. Now that I'm thinking about it, why the fuck do we do care, right? Where does this come from? We're so obsessed with finding truth that we're unable to trust anything. Because sometimes we've been lied to. Now we don't trust anyone. Does that seem like something that's okay? Something that's right? That just because sometimes some things might trick us, that we can no longer trust anything? Seems a bit weird. We don't have to be thinking about that all the time. We could be advancing, you know? There's cancer to be cured. There's AIDS to be fixed. And there's poverty to be destroyed. That's why, that's kind of my message to you. Lots of people like to think about what is real. Do we live in a simulation? Are we in a dream? And my answer is always, why the fuck does that matter? What are you going to do? Are you going to kill yourself? If you're in a dream, are you going to do an Inception and just go like, whoa, and fucking throw yourself off a building? If we're in a simulation, are you going to try to, I don't know, do whatever the fuck you want and hurt people and be incredibly promiscuous, go rape, murder, steal? I just went, whatever. I mentioned rape and then say steal with much more, like, impetu, like if it was much fucking worse. It's not. But are you going to do that? You're probably not, unless you're insane. Because even if, say, everything was false, you can still feel. Even if those feelings might be a lie, they might be a trick from an alien superlord who is just experimenting on you, or maybe you're just a program, you can still feel pain. You can still remember things. You can still feel pleasure. So it's stupid of you to do whatever the fuck you want, because you know very well that could get you into jail. You know very well that could make things really bad for you. And to say you are able to do it and have only pleasure, who the hell said that the simulation stops at your death? What if the simulation still goes on with the god giving you judgment for all the things that you've done? You don't know. Hell, maybe the simulation is a simulation to know, to judge you, and that once the simulation ends, once you die, everything you've done, you go back to your actual body, and you're judged on all the things you've done. So if you've done a lot of shitty things, you're fucked in the real world. So that's what I mean. There are so many things to be thinking about, so many things that you can't prove, so many things that are just useless. Don't worry about it. I have a friend who likes to really think about those kind of conspiracy theories. One of those conspiracy theories that he loves is the one with reptilians and aliens, and there's a whole alliance going on, and that there's a secret society has a deal with these aliens that they will allow the aliens to abduct certain humans and experiment on them in return for technology, because humans are unable to, you know, have technology. I think I already explained this in my previous one, but as I said, doesn't really fucking matter if they do exist, because that doesn't change anything. What are you going to do? Nothing. What are you going to do if the world is a simulation? Nothing. You can't do anything. So, I mean, if you want to go to what is the meaning of life, I already made an episode on that. You can go listen to it if you so desire. So that's all I wanted to say today. I don't know how well I did today. I kind of went off the rails a bit. I think I might have been a bit confusing. I will be open to you guys, opinions. I would like to have a discussion with you guys at the end of the day. So please, if you do have anything to maybe counter, maybe you want to discuss something further, maybe give your ideas, I am open to hear them. You can DM me on my Instagram. I will respond. Not immediately, but I do respond in time. And I'll happily debate with you anything. I do want to learn more, and I want you guys to learn more. Oh, I also did say that maybe this week my brother was going to do the episode with me, didn't I? Yeah, but he didn't fucking come, and which is sad. I think we would have had a really nice discussion, though every time I discuss with him, somehow it ends up with the existence of God. I don't know why, but I do want to have a guest in the future. Fuck me. No, I don't want him to fuck me. I don't want a guest to fuck me. I mean, I want to. I do want to have a guest. Whatever. Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, you can follow me on my Insta if you probably already do if you're here. If whatever you're listening to, on whatever platform you're listening to, be that Apple, Spotify, whatever, there's probably something you can do to help support me, like, share. You know, share this with your friends. Come on, fucking share. Tell people about me. Make me famous, goddammit. No. No, but, yeah, whatever. If you feel like maybe somebody, if you feel like it could be interesting for someone else, go with it. Share. Give it 5 stars on Apple Podcast because that's awesome. Whatever. I'd appreciate it all. I do have a Discord too. If you guys want to ask me for it, you can DM me. I will give you the link to the Discord. Discord is an app. It's a program. It's a platform. There you go. Which we can debate openly with me and other members of, you know, the whole community and shit. So yeah. Thank you. Hope you have a great day, and please stop doubting reality. You know what reality is. Stop giving a fuck about all these theories, and just live your life, and worry about your life, and in what you experience, and don't worry if those experiences are real or not, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Right? Thank you, and, bye-bye.